Hello, I'm Buzz.
And I'm Ben.
And this week we'll be talking about Sweet FA,
Most of a Norse,
Swuggling,
and Slow Biscuits.
Welcome to Backseat Coaches. The Left Book.
Huzzah!
What a goal!
A crunching tackle.
And he lines up the black.
Strokes it in. There it is. There's the win.
It's us. We're back.
We're back.
And with new Britney-style microphones. Hands-free. Hands-free, bro.
So we can do our choreographed dances.
Yeah, we can do our hair dancing. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't swing my head about. Yeah, we've got little lapel mics, which we've never used anything like this before.
Yeah.
It's cool. I'm going to keep checking the recorder because I just don't trust them to work.
No.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully they're going to work.
I'm just going to fiddle in mine the whole time.
Yeah. People are going to love
that. Can you hear
that.
Me okay?
Just moving it closer, further away, closer, further, just to really annoy me when I'm editing. To make it worse.
How's the game now?
Boo. You've been watching some of the sport? There's been a lot of sport.
There has. It's come thick and fast.
It really has. I feel like they're really trying to catch up, aren't they?
Yeah.
But which day was it? I think it was Saturday. No, it was Sunday. My birthday on Sunday. I was sat watching the cricket on Sunday that was on the telly. There was a Formula One that I was following on my phone. There was football later on in the evening, wasn't there, I think? There was just so much going on.
I don't know whether they're trying to catch up or catch me out. That's the problem.
Just trying to sneak things past you.
It's the problem with T20s is that they, like, after a test, it's like a week before the next 5-day test or more. But T20, a couple of days.
Yeah.
And I never know it's on. I always forget.
I watched the one on Sunday, and then on Monday I got an alert on my phone. I was like, they can't be playing again, surely not. It wasn't an alert, but I thought it was a wicket alert. It could be. Who knows? It is a very quick turn. They've already finished the T20 series. They started it last week.
They've already finished both.
It
wasn't that long that they were playing Pakistan.
I don't think they started the Pakistan T20 series by the time we
talked.
They've done two series in that time, which is great. It's really good, and I love having a bit of cricket on. Doesn't matter what cricket is. And actually,
it's the best thing about working at home.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Although these have been in the evening, so boom.
Yeah.
Taking up my evenings. Play it in the day so I don't have to do any work. But they've been good as well. They've been really good quality.
Yeah,
The Pakistan series is great.
Yes.
And then the first T20 against Australia.
Ah, they did in England, didn't they?
Unbelievable, yeah. It was, I think I watched the whole thing, and it was just incredible tension the whole game long. And then that final over from Curran, just superb. They played.
Yeah, really good.
The England's white ball team now, they're in danger of becoming the new Australian test team in that they're boring to watch because they always win. Like, they always seem to win. But they do keep making it exciting, which is great.
Yeah, they never win easily.
No.
But they do win.
They did
lose the last game, and if they'd won it, it would have taken them to number one.
I think they were number one before the game, weren't they? And it was whoever won that game kept number one, I think. I think that's what they said. So they were very briefly world number one T20, so they're still second.
There's something worth playing for, but they did.
They had a lot of players missing. Josh Butler left the bubble, didn't he, to go and see his family because he'd been playing like all of the cricket.
So long. Unbelievable.
Yeah, so that's definitely fair enough. For a dead rubber, no problem with that. And then Owen Morgan broke his finger, I think. Then he always strained his finger. So I think he's going to be back for the one Bears, isn't he?
Yeah.
Moeen Ali was the captain, which was interesting. Haven't seen him captain before.
He's been vice captain for the series.
He's been vice, hasn't he? Yeah, but I've never seen him actually captain out on the field. And didn't do the horrendous job. They didn't bat particularly well. They didn't get enough runs with the bat.
Bowled quite well again, though.
Yeah.
Almost defended it.
They were very close. And Australia, despite being the world number one T20 team,
they're really fragile, don't they?
Yeah, they've got three, like the top three is great. Yeah. They've got Warner, Finch, and
Smith
and Stoinis, who's good, and Maxwell, who's amazing at times, but also incredibly frustrating at times.
Yeah.
So they've got really good players in when they're batting, but once they get a bit further down, they're very fragile in the batting, whereas England bat really, really deep. Like Chris Jordan is a good batsman to be coming in at number eight. So I think, it's interesting. It's very interesting to see whether England become the top T20 team because I think quite often they don't take T20 as seriously. No. I think they tend to go for the one. Well, in the last couple of years, they've tended to play the one-day series very seriously, and then make a few changes for the T20 series. Yeah. But with the T20 World Cup coming up, I think they probably will try a bit harder, won't they?
And yes, I reckon so.
Hopefully, be another World Championship. Why not?
Yeah.
World Cup. Who knows? Let's do some headlines, shall we? Didn't normally finish with a joke in there, but couldn't think of anything. So.
England being T20 number one.
Yeah. And about 2-3 years ago, that would have been a great joke. Did you see about Patrice Evra playing football again?
I did not.
This first segment is going to be old people doing things again. This is Patrice Evra playing football.
Because they're allowed.
Yeah, because they're allowed out. Yeah. No more shielding for Patrice. Yeah, he was playing. So he played two games of football recently. He played in that Soccer Aid, you know, the.
Oh, yeah.
Is it Jonathan Wilkes or somebody? I think that's who does it. Isn't it? Robbie Williams, his friend.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was him who did this one, but that's normally who does it.
Yeah.
Didn't watch it, but he did. I saw a highlight of Patrice Evra nutmegging Lee Mack.
You'll never see that again, will you?
So good. He absolutely does him. Like, he does a little trick and then full blown megs him, runs around him and gets right. It's so good. But he also turned out for Brentham. Have you heard
really?
Of Brentham? They're like a Middlesex County League team. And Patrice Evra just turned out. Just why not? He just turned out.
Wait,
maybe. Well, yeah, this is what I wondered, but I think you can just register players
like
at
the
that
day
level. Yeah, because it's such a low level. I think you can literally just.
Did he pay his fee?
Oh, possibly.
It's probably the level you have to pay to
probably,
play.
Probably.
So
yeah.
I hope he paid his fee.
Yeah, we probably played it in beer. That's usually what it is, right?
Yeah.
But it was interesting to see him. Like, maybe it was a warm up for the. Soccer Aid game. Maybe that's
yeah,
why
he didn't
was
want
there.
To pull anything running
no.
past Lee Mack.
Yeah,
he?
So instead just pulled everything playing against North Greenford in the Middlesex County League. Talking of people coming out of retirement, did you see Stephen Hendry?
Yeah.
Really interesting.
He's been given a wild card.
Yeah, 2-year invitational tour card, so he can play any tour events.
Why? He didn't even win the Masters World Cup, World Championship.
He got to the semi-finals of it.
Yeah.
And I did watch a couple of his games and he was playing pretty well. But so was Ken Doherty and he hasn't talked about coming back. And Jimmy White was playing really well. He won it.
I was going to say, has Jimmy White ever been offered this? Because if he hasn't, he'd be...
Yeah, he'd be really
annoyed because he can't let it go. No,
he just keeps on winning on the Masters. He's played the seniors tour for ages, Jimmy White, and he wins everything because he's still really good and still plays, obviously, at quite a high level. But yeah, it is interesting to see Hendry, and like I guess he's come out with a drive because he wants to play the World Championships.
Really?
Yeah, that's his stated aim is to try and get back.
O'Sullivan's getting close.
So there is an article today saying it's nothing to do with Ronnie. Leave me alone. Nothing to do with Ronnie coming back.
All right, we didn't ask. But...
It's not Ronnie. Leave me alone. But yeah, I think it probably does have something to do with him taking a piss out of the lower end of the tour.
Yeah.
And Hendry's been like, well, for that shit, I'll come back then. Yeah, as well.
Prove him right.
Yeah. Did you see about the FA saying that men and women are going to, or already have, been receiving the same fee for playing
match
for,
day?
Yes, for playing for England.
Yeah, for match day fees. Yes.
So they've since January 2020 been receiving £1,000 per game each per player, both the men and the women for every England international. That's what I thought. It's very, very small amount for, and I think that sort of plays into where the problem is because yes, they've done this and it sounds great. It's great PR and everything.
Yeah.
But like that's no money. That's like semi-professional money, isn't it? Getting £1,000.
Yeah, the difference is the men are earning millions.
Huge endorsement contracts and huge club contracts.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit papery and over. Like, it's good. There's no question. It's a good thing. If it was that much, if it was 1,000, I don't know why they didn't do it before. Because it's not like it's breaking the bank, is it? It's such a small amount of money.
To think how much they spent on Wembley.
Yeah, exactly. Like, billions of pounds on Wembley, and then they're paying £1,000 a week. Or £1,000 a game, not even a week.
Yeah, and they were paying the women less, presumably, up until
assuming
recently.
They were paying them a packet of crisps or something. Because it's strange. It's a good... It's definitely a step in the right direction. But there's also been a lot of rumblings about the WSL becoming a lot more competitive or a lot more high calibre.
Yeah.
The Women's Super League, the Premier League in women's football in England.
Yeah, Man United have just signed two USA players.
Tobin Heath, I think. Yeah, and Christian Press. Yeah, they the two. I saw both of them are coming to England.
So they're signed with Man United for a year. City have signed.
Lucy Bronze has just come back from Lyon.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right, isn't it?
And Chelsea have the Australian star. Sam Kerr,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, Chelsea spent a bit of money, I think, in both the men's and the women's. They've been buying a lot of people. Surprisingly, with all the transfer bans and stuff, but they've gone for it.
Well, maybe they know another one's coming.
Possibly. Like... Get all the money out now, Abramovich. but yeah, it seems like the women's Super League. Did you watch the Women's Champions League final? That was on BBC.
No, I watched the Community ago. Shield.
The Women's Community Shield. Yeah. I didn't see that. Was that on BBC as well?
Yes, I think so.
Cool. I didn't see that one. Was that a good game?
Or just watch the highlights, maybe. Mm. But it seemed quite good. That Sam Kerr is rubbish.
Really? Done it! Always the money.
She had an absolute shocker. Literally 8 chances on a plate and missed all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's worse. Like you'd rather have an innocuous game than loads of really obvious mistakes.
Yeah. Like, all they could say was that... Well, at least she was like making the runs and was in the right place. Yeah. I could do that. Yeah.
Could you though? Could you really?
I can run around.
That's true. That's true. Can you though? Can you really?
I used to.
Did you see about Novak Djokovic getting disqualified for the tennis? Had to go in the headlines, didn't it? I was so happy. Oh, I love it when bad things happen to Novak Djokovic.
I also love it when people get hit accidentally by wolves.
It was pretty much on purpose. It's so bad. Like I watched it initially. I'd read about it first, couldn't find a highlight. All the highlights I could find were all like the end of the point and then skip to woman on the floor.
And the arguing and the consoling.
None of the actual thing.
Hitting like, in the throat.
Yeah. but eventually I managed to find it. And
the first
one I saw was really slow motion. Nice. And it looks like he just goes bloop and like slowly hits it and it just hits her in the throat. You're like, oh, what has he got? Like, it looks like he's just passing it to her.
Yeah.
And then you see it in full motion and he has full-bloodedly just smashed it right at her.
So like there's no chance for her to defend herself because it's quite why wouldn't you stop something hitting you in the throat?
He's at about like the edge of the service box line. So and he's hitting back. So there's enough time for her to have but you wouldn't be looking out for it, would you? It's the end of a game. Like if she'd been looking out for
it. That direction. Why would you not hit it the other end of the court?
Yeah, like if I think he probably had it hit somebody at the other end of the court, he probably would have gotten away with it. I think because he could have said, "I was just hitting it back to the ball boys,"
and he probably wouldn't have hit them because they would have moved.
And it's all outcome based, isn't it? Because literally, I've read about it. The game before, he did the same thing and hit the advertising boards.
Yeah,
and it was fine.
The same with everybody's comparing it to Tim Henman when he hit the ball girl.
Yeah,
I think it was
the same thing
in the year.
It was Tim Henman's one wasn't as bad as this, I don't think.
No,
because
I don't think so.
Hitting it over the net, and the ball girl was running across the net, and he wouldn't necessarily have expected the ball girl to be doing that. Whereas Djokovic knew there was line judges stood there. He knew that.
Yeah.
Unless he'd been playing on the courts where they didn't have line judges, maybe he's just not used to it again. There's no excusing it really. I can't see any way to excuse, and like people have been saying, he shouldn't have got disqualified because it was he didn't hit it very hard.
It's the letter of the law, isn't it? And like you say, it is purely outcome based.
Yeah.
So it's unlucky that
it's a bit of a problem that it's outcome based. I think things like that shouldn't be outcome based.
It shouldn't be, but then the problem is the subjectivity of intent or not.
Yes. And like there wasn't any intent to hurt clearly, but there was intent to hit it out of anger.
Yeah.
You're right. That is difficult to police.
So I think that, rightly or wrongly, I think that makes it easier to police.
Yeah, it definitely does.
And because of that, that there's no other outcome.
Yeah.
And it is a method of discouraging outbursts.
Yes, it should be, except that it doesn't, because he does it all the time. He does it all the time.
Yeah, everybody does it. Hit people.
Well, Federer doesn't tend to do it, I don't think. Although you do see him more than you used to do it, I think. He tends to not. Nadal, I wouldn't see him do outbursts. He gets angry at himself, but he wouldn't like hit a ball in anger, I don't think.
No. But then like people you wouldn't think have broken rackets and stuff.
Yeah.
To run them on the floor. Because that would be potentially an outburst.
Yeah.
Which they're trying to discourage, but it doesn't hurt anybody.
No, and that is, yeah, it is policed, isn't it? Because it's a violation.
Yeah, you do.
So that's interesting. That's violation, whereas hitting a ball in anger isn't at all. But if you hit somebody, then you're literally disqualified straight away. So it's a massive difference there.
There is, yeah.
So that's an interesting thing. And I do wonder whether they should change it, but I don't think they should. Well, I don't know, like... How dangerous is it really getting hit with a tennis ball? Because, yes, she looked like she got hurt. And it was probably the worst place to get hit in the throat, I'd say. But it's just not going to do any lasting damage, I don't think.
No, I think you still need to be disqualified for it.
As where the law is. But do you think that should be how the law stays?
I think so.
Like, I see a clear difference between this and the Nalbandian one, where he kicks the board and like breaks a guy's leg, basically.
But that one was horrendous. But what if that's outcome based again? Like, if nobody was sat there, what if you just like swung your leg?
You say if no one was sat there, but he was right next to him.
Yeah.
That's not outcome based. He knew there was a guy sat there. But the thing hadn't broken, like what happened with that one, he kicked an advertising board and the advertising board broke.
Yeah.
If it hadn't broken, he'd have been fine.
If it had been made of brick,
yeah,
he would have hurt himself.
Yeah, exactly. So that, yeah, I guess you're right. Again, it is outcome based. So it is very hard to police, isn't it? Yeah, you're right. I think it makes it less subjective. Yeah.
Whether they should make it harsher and just be like any sort of...
Yeah, if you hit a ball, you're disqualified. Very short tennis matches, just like watching the ball go by. God, I can't touch it.
You just want to hope you've been drawn to play on the last day. Yeah. I'll win again!
Let's do it in alphabetical order. Yes! Zverev's just a champion all the time. That's such a good name for alphabetical. I've never thought of that. That's so good. Final headline. Did you see about the greasy chump? Did you see this?
I had no idea what you meant. I didn't even know what to look up to try and see.
Just type greasy chump into Google. It's great. Tyson Fury is who else? Trash talking a guy called Drew McIntyre, who is the WWE champion. Just calling him out, basically. He wants to fight him.
Oh, he wants to go WWE again, does he?
See, this is what I don't know. I don't know whether he wants to box him or whether he wants to WWE him.
WWE, yeah.
It's hard right to tell. Right in the face. But I think it probably is WWE. I think he wants to go and wrestle again.
Yeah.
Because he seems pretty keen. And
oh, he
wrestling,
loves it, doesn't he?
Wrestling's still going on full steam, isn't it? Full steam ahead. They're still filming all the wrestling, so... I think he definitely wants to go and fight. What he called him a greasy chump, which I thought is such a funny,
greasy chump.
It's such a nice PC way to insult somebody because no one's going to get upset by that apart from that one person. He might be a bit upset, but is like it's classic WWE, isn't it? Just lovely trash talk. And I think Fury probably should give up boxing and just go and wrestle.
He's
so well suited to it.
If unifying the belts is never going to happen, then tag it off.
Go and make some money in WWE. Yeah. It's a lot more fun by the looks of it and a lot less dangerous.
Yeah.
So I think that's where we should end up. Backseat Coaches presents WWE. Bracket S.
It's time for another use my words.
Yeah, start again.
In joke.
Yep. Does everyone know what segment it is? Say it again. So everyone knows. They'll have heard the joke. They know what's coming.
It's the one where we give each other stupid names.
We're the WWEs, isn't it?
Where nobody cares what we talk about. Yeah. They just want to see the names we made up.
Listen to the names, and we've got some. So.
It's that segment where we talk about a sport you won't have heard of, and we call each other stupid things. That one.
That's all our segments.
Yep.
Go on. Are you doing your names first? You want me to do mine first?
I'll do mine first.
Yeah, go on then.
You have a England squad theme.
Really?
Based on their squad from last night.
Based on the really shit squad that they had last night.
Against Denmark, yes. So you can be James, put you in a hospital ward Prowse.
A hospital ward Prowse. Oh, yeah, that's quite good.
Kieran, Trippier up.
Good. Always. That's just there, isn't it? I'm sure a tabloid headline writer has written that before.
Or, my favourite, Trent Alexander-Arnold.
and arm holds. You don't get them very often.
You don't know.
Rare. Rare.
Yeah, submission hold. Specialist.
Yeah. Yeah, got an RVM then. That's quite good. I like the Ward Prowse one as well, though. Yeah. Ward's good. This week, going on from the Mario theme we had last week, I've got a Sonic the Hedgehog theme for you this week.
Nice.
So you can be Sonic the Wedgie Hog. You can be Bloody Knuckles. Mm-hmm. Which is what I say every time that I see Knuckles. Bloody Knuckles. Or you can be Kick You in the Eggs, Man.
Get it.
Yeah.
Sonic the Wedge Hog.
Sonic the Wedgie Hog.
Everybody wants to be the star of the show.
Of course they do. And they all want to get wedgies also. Go on, then give me WWE's. What you got?
So this week, we're going to Denmark.
Ooh.
For a bit of really boring football.
Oh, yeah.
No. No. That was last night. We are going to Denmark for Earthing.
Okay. Earthing.
Earthing.
To go and see Earthing. You just say things weird.
So, the you know, doing the Earth. Earthing.
Right. Okay. Is this a sport or...?
Apparently so.
Okay.
Created by Mark Aaron Sauce. A right. Power sprinting event over 110 metres.
Uh-huh.
Called Earthing... as it intends to find the fastest human on Earth, by which they mean over land and through water.
Oh, okay.
Starting to...
I see. Because I was going to say it's a stupid name. Because
it is still a stupid name.
Yeah, okay, fine.
So it is a 600-meter running track followed, so directly ended by, a 50-meter swimming pool. So you sprint until circular,
literally dive in.
Yeah, it you have to sprint until a circular, what do they call it, a transitional target disc, a circle on the floor.
that's marketing speak right there. Yeah. And then you go to the transitional marketing disc.
So the transitional target disc, essentially a circle on the floor from which you have to dive into the water.
Yeah.
And then swim to the end.
So are you allowed to not break stride? So you're literally running, dive from the run?
Or yeah, as long as you have 1 foot in the...
in the TTD.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as you have 1 foot in the circle when you dive in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the idea is that you don't break stride. Right. You just sprint, you go jump,
swim.
Yeah,
into it.
That's
cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. Yeah. You have to resurface after 20 metres. Otherwise, I don't know, when you're going that fast, you might just be able to make it all the way to the end.
What, a 50-metre just swivel? What do they call it? When you're like, just under the water wobbling about.
Undulate.
Yeah. So, you've got to get up and get into some sort of stroke, I guess, is what they're saying.
Within 20 metres. Yeah.
Okay.
There is a short form course, which is...
Shorter form than that?
Yeah,
it's just a kiddie pool. 10 metres and then a kiddie pool. Wade through it.
30 metre sprint, 25 metre swim. So half length.
Half of each. Wait, did you say 60 metres?
The first one is 60 metre sprint.
Oh, I thought it was 600 metres.
So 60 metre.
Yeah, 60 metres makes a lot more sense.
Followed by 50 metre swim.
Yeah, I was thinking 600 metres is too far for a sprint, really.
Yeah, for a power sprinting event.
Yeah, 60 metres makes more sense. Okay, so what's the short one for, the short course for? Kids?
Yeah.
Okay.
And to make it more feasible, because there aren't many outdoor
50 metre pools. Yeah, that's Olympic size, isn't it?
It's like quite hard to find, and then you have to get some sort of running track next to it.
Yeah.
So you can run and dive.
Yeah, I was going to say you could do it off like a pier, maybe, into the sea. A 60 metre pier. Is that long, 60 metres? It's not that long, is it?
No, it's not really.
It's not long for a pier, but actually for like a jetty. I was thinking more of a jetty, because a pier
into
would be a long
lake.
Way to drive, dive.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah, that'd be feasible. You'd need buoys that are tied to the floor so that you know where the end point is, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it might be harder if it's not in a pool to get your direction easier.
I guess that's part of Earthing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
true.
Orienteering.
Yeah.
Get your compass out.
Compass out underwater. Maybe that's why you have to come up. You know, I have to look at your compass the whole time.
There are plans for 400-metre Earthing distance.
Okay.
So you'd run 400 metres.
Run around
or maybe run 200 and swim 200.
Oh, or similar. And then get out and run another 200 and jump out of the water. Yes, okay. yeah, because this is what combined 50 and 60, 110.
Yeah.
Okay. So 400, like 400, do they still call that a sprint?
I think it's just about a sprint, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. It seems a long way to be sprinting 400 metres, I think. But
This is the first sport dedicated to support the environment and wildlife. So at current events, competitors compete for a chosen cause, and all of the event's profits is split equally between the competitors for their cause.
That's pretty
cool. So that could be climate change, Amazon rainforests, antelope.
Antelope. you know, just specific, things always out there.
Specific antelope.
Just Dave the antelope.
So that's sort of where it is at the moment. But they're sort of quite hopeful it might take off because it has combined the two most watched sports at the Olympics, the athletics and the swimming.
How do they have like multiple people at once? Do they have like a 5-lane track and 5-lane pool?
Yeah.
So it's an actual race. It's not like...
Yeah.
And then, so they have tournaments of it. So, and then heats.
From what I can see, the competitions are sort of few and far between. I can see that there's been like a world championship of it yet. But it has been integrated into a school curriculum at a Danish school.
And Emma has pulled a right face at that. Emma is sat next to us. So, bloody Danish schools.
since 2014. They have 1 hour earthing a week, and it's a combination of earthing practice and environmental teaching.
At a school, just one school so far?
From what I could see so far, just a one school.
Interesting. So it's like environmental lessons and then go out and run in a field and jump in a pool. That's cool. That's pretty cool. It's a bit different than my PE lessons, which was, is a round us about fuck off. Do what you want with it.
Well, it'll still be the same, but you can either run or swim.
Die in a pool. Great. That's Denmark.
Backseat Coaches presents WWE.
Bracket S.
Ever wanted to find out a bit more about Buzz and Ben, the backseat coaches? Ever wondered who does all the work on the podcast? Or who almost crashed their shared Vauxhall Corsa? We wanted to give you the chance to ask any of these questions you have wondered throughout the podcasts, so send them in via Facebook or email. You can even tell us who you are and where you're listening from, and we'll try and get as many of your questions answered as we can.
You can get us at Backseat Coaches Podcast on Facebook, at Backseat Coaches on Twitter, or at backseatcoaches@hotmail.com in our email. We look forward to receiving them. So, on the back of Novak's excellent disqualification from the US Open...
If you're going to do it properly.
Exactly. If you're going to do it, you may as well go big and try to injure someone. Yeah. So, on the back of that, I've come up with a little game about disqualifications, and it's called You're Outta Here.
A ball hit in frustration, straight towards a throat. You made officials angry, you really got their goat. Apologise all you want, you can never change the past. Learn to live with your decisions, brought to justice at last. Even when the stand is packed, you'll never get a cheer. Your tournament is over because you're out of here.
So, simple game. It's basically just questions of why did this person get disqualified for this thing. Question one. Why does a heat of the indoor 400 metres in Birmingham in 2018 live on in disqualification infamy? Is it A, it was the only race in history where all five runners were disqualified? Is it B, the winner was disqualified, then reinstated, then disqualified again for a different reason, then reinstated again? And then, sorry, yes, that was the final thing. Reinstated again after surviving a false start on appeal. Or is it C, there were multiple false starts, but the technology didn't enable the judges to work out who's the culprit, so no disqualifications took place? Which of those is the true story?
Oh, I feel like I should know this one.
It was in Birmingham.
Yeah.
So you might have been there.
Yeah, I might have been running.
Might have been you. You false starting all the time and turn the technology off.
They've had that technology for ages, haven't they? So presumably it would just be that it wasn't working.
Yes, I think that was the case. Yeah, it wasn't that they didn't have the technology. It's just that they didn't have the technology working. Or I can't remember what they use for false starts.
Reaction time.
Yeah, but is it timing? Like, what's the timing based on? Is it based on the blocks? Do they time how long people are getting out of the blocks?
I think so.
Yeah. Which makes sense. So if that just wasn't working that day,
yeah,
that's my understanding of this.
I don't think it'd live on in infamy if that were the case. I think that would be forgotten very quickly.
I think there was a lot of false. It's like I put, there were multiple false starts. I think there was a lot, and it was working to call the false starts, but not to say who did it, so they couldn't
potentially. If it wasn't working all over the place, it could have been saying there were false starts and there weren't as well.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, yeah. Hadn't thought that. That might, yeah, you might be right. Yeah.
What was the middle one?
Winner was disqualified, then reinstated, disqualified again for a different reason, and then reinstated again. So eventually won the race, having survived a false start on appeal.
I could see that. How can you appeal a false start?
They went to like the computer, and it turned out that it hadn't been her who had triggered the false start. It was a different person, but initially she'd been disqualified.
You have to be very sure
to disqualify someone. They're very quick. To appeal.
I guess you don't have to be sure as to appeal, but you don't often see them appeal. There's like,
no, it usually goes, isn't it, straight away? Yeah, I think it was. Well, maybe appeal is the wrong word. Maybe it's like it was reviewed.
Yeah.
And then it turned out it wasn't her fault.
And A was they were all disqualified.
Yes, the only race in history where all five runners have been disqualified.
Five runners does sound like indoors.
Is that right? Do they have smaller fields indoors?
I think so. I think it's A or C. I'm going to go A.
A, the only race in history where all runners were disqualified.
It seems really stupid now you say it.
It's so stupid that it's correct. It was, yes. All the races, so all the runners were disqualified. The first guy, Abdelahala Haroon, was disqualified after a false start. Then Brelon Taplin won the race, but the officials later disqualified him, Stephen Gale of Jamaica, Ostris Karpiniskis of Latvia, and Alonso Russell of the Bahamas for all running out of their lanes.
Like, there's a spare lane, lads.
Just in and out. I can't imagine all four runners going out of their lane. It seems ridiculous.
Indoors, is that?
Yeah.
It's only like 60 metres indoors.
This was 400 metres. It was a sprint, so it was the full track. But still, when it like
all drunk,
no, yeah,
like, don't get disqualified for being drunk.
No, that's true. Well, maybe they had so many false starts again, they're just tipping them down. No, I don't get it. I don't understand how you could do a whole race like it's your job
with everybody out.
Yeah,
like it happens sometimes to one person.
Yeah, and it's quite rare to happen to one person. It's like it's all of their professional jobs. How can you all be so bad at it? I think it's ridiculous.
Does anybody get the gold medal from that?
So it was a heat. So I guess they just took the qualifying place. Yeah, if it had been the final,
that would have been really cool.
Whoever like was the quickest in the heat, so you didn't get to the final. That's a great way to win a gold. So you're one from one. Good. Question two. Wait, I'm gonna put yes to say that you got that right, and that way I'll remember. I won't, but... Question two. Why was Dancer's Image disqualified from the 1968 Kentucky Derby? Is it A, the jockey was underweight and turned out to be a 12-year-old boy? Is it B, the horse was drugged by white supremacists? Or is it C, Dancer's Image turned out to not be a purebred horse and was found to have been genetically altered in a lab?
It was a cheetah.
It wasn't a horse, as it turned out. Yeah.
Yeah, horse with cheetah legs.
Oh, I see. Cheetah like the animal.
Yeah.
I thought you were like, it's a cheating horse. Bloody cheating horse.
That's the only thing I could think of that was faster than a horse.
Yeah, because it's quite a long distance. I don't think even a cheetah would be a good thing to mix it with, would it?
Mm.
What's
well, maybe to mix it with.
Maybe, to give it a bit of extra sprinting muscle.
Yeah.
And then mostly horse, but mostly a little bit cheetah.
Yeah.
It's mostly an horse. Worst salesman.
How would they find that out? I think unless it was the very first race it entered, people would have found out about it much sooner. Like, people are really into their horse breeds and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I think that they must have faked the paperwork, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I guess the Kentucky Derby is like the biggest race in America, so maybe that's when they do the advanced testing.
And then that's the first time somebody spotted that.
Yeah, they had spots like a cheetah, like a leopard.
Possibly, but I'm not convinced by that one.
Okay.
Was B?
It was drugged by white supremacists.
Why specifically white supremacists?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Why not?
That's an interesting detail. I do know, actually.
It was because the owner was like a supporter of the civil rights movement at the time.
Oh.
So the white supremacists weren't happy with him specifically, so they drugged his horse.
And made it faster.
Well,
did it win?
Yes, it won. It won the race, So it won by a distance, apparently. So much so that the drugs wouldn't have made a difference, according to the owner. He actually managed to get it reinstated for a little while, and then it got disqualified again.
You're still on drugs.
It's still on butamine. Yeah, what was it called? Phenylbutazone is the drug. That's what they use in horses in America. They call it bute. Because apparently in America they run on a lot harder ground, so they inject the horse's knees with this bute, which is like a aspirin, effectively, so they don't stop running because it hurts too much.
That's horrible, isn't it?
Legalized the drug a lot not that long after this.
Yeah,
it's pretty rough, isn't it? They're not nice to their horses in America.
No, what was the first one?
The jockey was underweight and turned out to be a 12-year-old boy.
That's my favourite.
You hope that this is the answer.
Yeah. Oh, but that does seem like something you would make up.
Does it?
Yeah, because we both want that to be right.
And most jockeys look like 12-year-old boys anyway. So.
Yeah. Just racing with a lollipop in his mouth.
Yeah, one of them like twiddly caps with the propeller on top.
I've got to say B, my least favourite answer.
Yeah, you think it was drugged by the white supremacists?
Yeah.
And you're right. I've probably made that too easy, haven't I? It's too obviously the right answer. Yes, he was drugged by white supremacists for that very reason. He was a big proponent of the civil rights movement. Apparently he donated the winnings for Dancer's Image, his race, the last race before this one, to Martin Luther King's recently widowed wife.
So let's get him.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, the Klan came out and got him. I don't think it was the Klan.
I guess they're sort of lucky that he was caught. Otherwise, the plan completely falls through.
We've just made his horse better. Yeah. This has not worked.
This will do him.
Take that. Your horse is now better than it was, idiot. Yes, that could easily have backfired quite severely, couldn't it?
Yeah.
But yes, it didn't. He did manage to get it reinstated, and record books now show Dancer's Image as the winner of the race. But he never got the prize money back. He got the prize money back briefly, and then it was overturned. Spent it all quickly. quick. Spend it all on white things. No way. Non-white things. Question 3. Why was Tim the big fundamental Duncan thrown out of a basketball once? A basketball game, not just out of a basketball.
He's thrown out of a basketball. Too big, surely.
He's 7 foot. What are you doing in a basketball? Get out of there. Was it A, for swatting a wasp that had landed on the referee's shoulder? Was it B, for putting a mascot in a headlock? Or is it C, for laughing in the face of the officials?
Oh, could be any one of these.
Yeah.
These are all sort of very small infractions,
yeah.
And like the mascot one, it's like you gotta really be like, well, by the letter of the law.
Yeah. Djokovic style.
Was it his own mascot as well?
don't have that information, but it probably wasn't, I would imagine. Have you seen, you know, Robin Lopez? I think we've talked about him on the podcast.
Yeah.
He's always wrestling with done. The...
Yeah.
He's always fighting with the mascots. Maybe this is where he got it from.
Yeah, and he hasn't been ejected.
No, but I think he mostly does it in the tunnel before the games.
Yeah.
I actually saw him on the sideline the other day as well in a game. He plays with the Milwaukee Bucks now. He just lost in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Does not get a game. He's too stupid to get a game. His brother does. His brother
too
gets
busy dressing up as a mascot.
Yeah, he's too busy fighting. Always banned.
He may as well just be the mascot.
He basically is. He's got big, like, fuzzy sideshow bob hair. He's great.
Hitting a wasp, I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see, and then him trying to explain it.
Yeah,
and
no, there's a wasp.
Doesn't matter.
You've attacked an official.
Hit an official, I could definitely see that happening for sure. Big lad as well.
Yeah, he probably got a bit of rolled up newspaper first and hit with it.
And knocked the ref out.
Yeah, knocked him over. He's still a big lad, so.
So there's hitting the ref.
Yep. Mascot in a headlock or laughing in the face of the officials.
I could see that as well, even if you did it by accident. Mm. If you're just laughing.
Yeah. Oh, we saw, I don't know if you were there, at the Paget Rangers, one of the Paget Rangers games.
Mm.
The left back, I think, got booked for laughing at the linesman. He just like, ha ha ha, and then pulled a straight face. I thought it was hilarious. I was stood right next to him, and he was like, ha ha ha, and then pulled a straight face, and he got a yellow card for it.
Oh, it's so harsh, because they have to, really have to pay, don't they?
Yeah, and it was so funny as well. It was a good joke.
Was it just like a rubbish offside decision or something?
I think so. And I think the official had like told a joke, like he'd said something that was trying to be funny, and he'd gone, ha ha ha, and then pulled a straight face and got a yellow card.
I'm going to go with that one because of that. Then.
You want that? You want it laughing in the face of the officials?
Yeah.
And you're right. It is correct. It's 3 from 3. Yes. Tim Duncan was ejected from a 2007 game against the Dallas Mavericks for laughing at Joey Crawford, a 67-year-old official.
Oh.
Who then asks, do you want to fight? Do you want to fight, Tim? He genuinely was trying to fight Tim Duncan. Duncan got fined $25,000 for getting ejected. This was his second technical of the game. So if you do one technical, you're all right. But the second technical, you get ejected for. And Crawford, though, was fined $100,000 and suspended for the rest of the season.
For wanting to fight.
Yeah, for trying to fight him. Yeah. And a pretty poor decision, I think.
Yeah.
Like laughing at the officials, I don't think that's...
No, not a 67-year-old official.
No, I don't think you should be getting ejected for that. I think that's poor. 3 from 3. Going well so far.
Mm.
Question 4. Why was Madeline de Jesus disqualified from the 4x400 at the LA Olympics in 1984? Is it A, because her twin Margaret ran in her place? Is it B, because she switched the baton out for a much easier to carry one? Or is it C, she poisoned the food of her opponents the night before?
Oh, that's dark.
It's dark, isn't it?
That's, just her who got disqualified, not her, not
well,
the team.
Well, the team got disqualified, team, yeah. But it was because of her.
Yeah, poisoning the team is dark.
It is pretty dark to poison
Where
the team.
Where is she from? Russia?
Oh, no, I did write down. Puerto Rico.
Oh.
So, no, not Russia.
Russia, definitely. Poisoning everybody.
What do you mean, getting disqualified for it? It's a common practice. This is how you win, isn't it?
Switching the batons out to one that's easier to carry.
Yeah. As in, like, it was stickier in the hand, like, you wouldn't drop it.
But then it would make it harder to pass, wouldn't it?
It wasn't, like, sticky. It was just grippy.
Grippy.
Yeah.
Gripped.
Yeah. And possibly slightly lighter. Don't know about that bit. But it's definitely easier to not drop.
Yeah, and the first one?
Her twin Margaret ran in her place.
Maybe. I think B, that seems... And why would you be carrying that baton with you?
What, a spare baton? Well, yeah, she'd obviously planned it ahead, hadn't she?
But where would you keep it?
Well, don't ask women what they do, so
that's what they have in the handbags.
Yeah,
never exactly. Ask a woman what she carries in a handbag.
Super deep bag. I've just got a bat on. What? Why? Well, you don't know when I might be running the Olympics.
Yeah, let's go B, and we'll finally find out what women carry in
what women have in their handbags. It's not a baton, unfortunately. Oh. It's not. It was her twin, Margaret, ran in her place. Margaret was also a good athlete, but hadn't qualified for the games. But Madeline injured herself in the long jump the day before. So Margaret, who was the identical twin, just swapped in and managed to get them to the finals. So they got to the final. Unfortunately, it was an eagle-eyed journalist noticed, like, could actually tell which one was which because they look extreme. I saw photos. They are ridiculously similar, but one of them's got a little mole on her cheek. And he managed to work out that this one was Margaret and not Madeline. There was contradictory stories from what I read as to whether they actually, the coach pulled them out or whether they got disqualified. I couldn't find out. But they were banned for the Olympics. But they were banned from the Olympics, both of them. But despite that, Madeline then went and competed at the 1988 Olympics. So they were banned, but she managed to go anyway. So I don't really understand that. It doesn't make any sense to me, but well, maybe I guess they rescinded the ban.
I was going to say, look at Russia.
Yeah, it's true. No, it's fine. Just take the drugs. I can't be asked anymore. Just take them. So I finally got one wrong. I put a no. Question five. You're still doing well. There's only seven questions, so you only need to get one more to get more than average.
Okay.
So you do. Well, in fact, you probably already got average because there's three answers.
Yeah. Nice. I'm out.
Yeah, I'll just sit down. Sit down for the rest of the game. Question five.
Because I stand up for games.
Yeah. Well, you're not taking it seriously if you're not stood up. Question five. Why was Sergio Garcia disqualified from the 2019 Saudi International Tournament? Was it A, because he was hacking sand out of a bunker and it was going all over the course, sort of petulantly? Was it B, because he was hacking a branch off a tree after a poor shot? Or is it C, he was hacking divots out of the greens after missed putts?
Oh, vaguely remember this.
Really? When was, this is 2019. We might have actually talked about this, possibly. This is a possibility.
I think...
He's well known for being a petulant little son of a bitch.
Hacking divots in the green, definitely, like, you can't be doing that, can you?
No, definitely not. That's the sort of thing, like, you get kicked off your municipal courses for that.
So, I can't imagine he'd do that. That seems like a big no-no.
Yeah, I feel like golfers generally have, there's a code of ethics about being a golfer, isn't there? You don't hack the greens up. I think, also, how would you hack the greens up? You've got a putter out.
Yeah.
There's no, like, hacking face of a putter.
He's put it away. Specifically, he got out his driver.
Got the wedges out. Like, chucking away it.
So I think bunker or tree. I think bunker, because I reckon you could get angry.
Yeah.
And think, oh, it's just sand
it's
in
just
it.
Just sand, yeah.
And then just go two.
Yeah. Bunker is a really good place to get angry as well because it's a tough shot, so you could easily get annoyed at a bunker, I reckon.
And just start smashing the sand around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going for?
Yeah, we'll get A bunker.
A bunker. The correct answer was C. He was hacking divots out of the greens.
How can you do that?
It's so bad, isn't it? I don't know whether... I haven't seen footage of it.
How do you fix it either?
Well, yeah. The greens are really closely monitored. Like, it's very, like, manicured, isn't it?
Yeah.
Professional tournaments. So, it's probably one of the worst sins, I reckon, of golf to be knocking the greens about.
Especially if you're going around first.
Which you might have been.
Hack all these up.
Yeah, because he'd have been like right at the bottom of the tournament because he was playing badly. So he probably was just like messing it up for everyone else. Take that, idiots. He has a history of histrionics, having kicked a golf cart, smashed a tree with his club once, and spat into the hole, having missed a putt.
Oh, that's weird.
Really horrific. I thought, like, apparently Tiger Woods has done it as well, but not into the hole. He's just spat on the greens. I think even that's pretty disrespectful.
Yeah.
But to spit right into the hole is horrendous.
No, you couldn't do that in COVID times,
could you? Well, you could not. No, you're going to get, I don't know what, you're getting told off by the police.
Yeah.
Not just the golf police. That's a no. I was going to say something else about that. Oh yeah, he was also hacking the sand out of the bunker. Like, he did actually do that, but that wasn't what got him disqualified.
They were
fine with that. Just go and do whatever you want. Do what you want in the bunker.
Yeah.
That might have cheered him up. Might have been a good thing to have done. Question six. When their trainee, Manduk Naran Ganzarig, was disqualified from the Olympic wrestling bronze medal match, how did coaches Tseren Batar Sogbayar and Bayam Barinchen Bayarara protest? Is it A, they started stripping off and taunting the judges? Is it B, they sat on their opposing coaches and refused to budge? Or is it C, they started undoing all the fixings of the judges' table until it collapsed?
Surely they would notice.
They did it very quickly.
What are you doing there?
Where'd you get that spanner from? I have to sit here. I can't leave. I'm just going to watch you.
Yeah. Just trying to lean over. Stop that. Stop
get that. Away. Just slapping it like a naughty cat.
When was this?
I didn't write down when it was. Recently, I think.
Recently.
Though. Yeah, there's colour photographs of it, so it must have been relatively recent.
Again, it rings a bell.
It possibly is, yeah, in the last couple of Olympics, I think. I don't know for sure, though.
Because I remember, it's always the wrestling coaches.
Yeah. Wrestling coaches are nuts, I think. Yeah. Like, there was that one, the fencing one. He just sat on the...
Yeah.
Sat down and just protest. But this seems like wrestling coaches are a bit more nuts.
Yeah, for sure. I want to say stripping off in protest.
You reckon they just started stripping off all their clothes?
Where are they from again?
They were... I didn't write it down. It was Mongolia.
Mongolia. Yeah, sure. Oh, they'd be big. They could easily sit on other
they
coaches.
They were big.
Oh, that does change it.
But then their opposition coaches are going to be big and all.
Presumably.
Yeah.
Presumably they're ex-wrestlers as well.
Their opponent was from Uzbekistan, so probably.
Ooh, probably big.
Yeah, probably.
That would have just... that would have just ended up being a fight, wouldn't it?
You'd imagine so, wouldn't you?
Like, you're not going to let somebody sit on you.
No. But maybe they were tiny, and that's why they got away with it. Yeah. They're tiny wrestling coaches. I sit on you. That's such a great way to protest something. It's not even the judges. They're just sat on the other coaches. Yeah. I sit on you.
No, in fact, I sit on them.
Until you change your decision, I'm sitting on these people.
And the judges just walked off.
Sit away.
Right. Oh, I'm going home. So I'm going to go stripping off.
You think they stripped off and started taunting the judges?
I reckon so.
And you are right, they did. Which is another very weird way to protest something, I think. I've lost my cursor. Where's my cursor gone? There it is. Oh, what have I done? I've pressed all the buttons. Everything's gone wrong. It was a very contentious decision for them to lose the match. They had 18 seconds left in the match, and their tutee, Ganzorig, had a one-point lead over Uzbekistan's Ikitor Navruzov. And confident that he would win, Ganzorig taunted his opponent by dancing around him, according to this article, which is not like... I don't know if he was doing, like, you know, shaking his butt at him or if he was just like, you know, like they say boxers are dancing when they're trying to avoid. So I couldn't really tell. It didn't seem that, but it could be quite...
If he was twerking. Naughty. So what did they do? Deduct a point or award?
The next bit's actually better because, confident that he would win, Ganzarig taunted his opponent by dancing around him and the coaches carried him around the mat in celebration before the match had finished.
Surely they're not allowed on the mat.
That's what I thought. So maybe that's what the point was given. So they gave a point to Nazarov.
Three against one then, isn't it?
Yeah. And they just dropped him on him. Just lift him up and throw. But yeah, so the judges awarded a point to Navruzov. And then when the Mongolian coaches objected, the judges handed another point to Navruzov, winning the match. Now that bit, it seems like where they've sort of dug their own grave there.
Yeah.
That's such a stupid thing to do. Because, like, surely the coaches are going to object. They can't. Yeah. You can't knock points off for that, can you? That
for seems... objecting, no. You can definitely knock points off for picking him up.
Yeah, I think the first point, fair enough. But then it would have been a draw, and I guess overtime. I don't know. Added time, multi ball. Added time, multi wrestler. That's what they were in the ring.
Yeah, they're just getting ready.
They started stripping off their clothes, and one of them got down to his underwear before he was escorted out.
I think I do remember seeing about this.
I don't remember it at all. I just think it's hilarious. Oh, I love that one. And question seven. So what did you get that one right? You got that one right. So you are 4 from 6. Very good. So question seven, last one. Drew Chapman's loss to Irvin's Ayala in LFA 36 was controversial. Why? So LFA is Legacy Fighting Alliance, which is like MMA, basically.
Okay. Mortal Kombat.
Yes, Mortal Kombat. Is it A, Chapman was disqualified for punching himself in the face as a taunt to Ayala?
Excellent.
Is it B, Ayala was already knocked out, but Chapman was disqualified after the knockout, so Ayala ended up winning? Is it C, Chapman accidentally knocked the referee out and was disqualified?
No, always funny. Not so much as like the referee getting knocked over football.
Yes, like that is always hilarious because there's no real mortal danger. Whereas in this, I think you're probably in quite a bit of danger as a referee, so it's probably not quite as funny when you see him just get sparked out.
Yeah,
they really put themselves in the way as well, the referees in MMA. Yeah. I don't like it at all.
That doesn't seem controversial to me. If you knock out the referee, you're probably going to get disqualified.
Fair,
even if it is accidental.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Djokovic. Yeah.
Controversial might be the wrong word, but yeah, like it's remembered anyway, the loss.
What was the middle one?
Ayala was already knocked out, but Chapman was disqualified after the knockout.
Do you know why?
He was like kicking him after he was down, basically, he was disqualified for striking an opponent after the end of the round, after the bell had been dung.
Or I could see that if it's a particularly vicious fight, if there's a bit of spite between them.
Yeah, do you think there is between them? There probably is. There definitely is. Like, there is some of them, isn't there?
Well, at least it's built up to be.
Like the McGregor Khabib. That one did seem quite.
I don't know how much it's just.
Yeah, played on. Yeah, because they do in combat sports generally, they play up a lot.
Yeah,
but like in boxing, there's quite a lot of respect usually after the fight. Like they build it up before the fight, but then afterwards, there's a bit of respect between them. I don't know if that's the case in MMA. Certainly doesn't seem with Conor McGregor.
No, and he's the only real MMA that I know of recently. So
yeah,
I don't know what the others are like towards each other.
No. This LFA, the Legacy Fighting Alliance, was it's like an off-brand UFC, basically. It's a bit budget. And it was created as a result of the Legacy Fighting Championship and the Resurrection Fighting Alliance merging in 2017. Which
to form the Legacy Fighting Alliance.
To me, sounded like that scene from the from Life of Brian. Where it was like, we're not the Judean People's Front, we're the People's Front of Judea. Judean Liberation Front. He's over there. Splatter! I love that scene.
There's all manner of MMA type things out there.
Apparently,
I'm sure.
They want three letters. It's always three letters. Always rule of threes.
Yeah.
WWE, UFC.
MMA.
WBF. That's the boxing one, isn't it? WDF, that's the darts. WD-40, that's the oil.
And what was the first one? That was A.
Chapman was disqualified for punching himself in the face as a taunt tire.
Oh, that seems really funny.
Come get it.
Well, I don't know why you'd be disqualified for that, other than hilarious.
Other than for hilarity.
Yeah.
I think it was like because it's seen as unsportsmanly, which seems strange for UFC, doesn't it?
Especially in LFA.
Well, yeah, anything goes in the LFA. Maybe they're trying to clean it up.
They had enough of people punched. The referees were told this year, if you're going to stamp down on anything, it's punching yourself in the face.
Self-punching, that's what we need to sort out.
And offsides.
You can't be coming off the side.
I'm going to go B. It sounds the most plausible.
You think Ayala was already knocked out, but Chapman was disqualified after the knockout.
Yeah.
And you are correct. You're right. Yes, he was disqualified after the knockout in hilarious circumstances. I'll read you the story of this because it's very funny. So Ayala tripped Chapman. He got like a trip on him. and went to do what they call a hammer blow, I think, which is when the guy's on the floor and you just punch
the,
down on
with the side of the...
Horrific.
Yeah, it's horrendous.
So he went to do it, but as he was trying to do it, smashed his own chin into Chapman's knee. Slammed his chin.
My own chin.
And knocked himself out. Like, Chapman was just on the floor and he smashes his chin into his knee. So knocked himself out. So Chapman was awarded the win. But Chapman, in this was his first ever LFA fight, and possibly his first MMA fight, I'm not sure. But his first ever LFA fight, trying to sort of create a name for himself, jumped onto Ayala's back and did a front flip off him in like celebration, and was then, that was deemed punching a guy after, or striking a guy after the bell. Ayala's like spark out on the floor.
You probably shouldn't be standing on him.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he was like, he was literally just pushing off him, so he'd probably be all right, but still, it's a bit disrespectful.
Yeah,
in what is already a very disrespectful sport, it's probably a bit beyond the pale. And it was, and he got disqualified from, disqualified from the match for striking an opponent after the bell.
And so the other person got, Ayala got the win.
Ayala ended up the winning. Good. Despite being sparked out, probably lying sparked out on the floor.
Through his, like, himself in the face.
Yes.
So it's, it's pretty much all three.
Yeah, sort of, yeah. So you couldn't be wrong. So you ended up with 5 out of 7.
Oh, happy with that.
Very good result, except unfortunately I'm going to have to disqualify you because you were looking at the answers. You cheer, cheer.
Boo, you didn't say I couldn't.
Disqualify.
A ball hit in frustration, straight towards a throat. You made officials angry, you really got their goat. Apologise all you want, you can never change the past. Learn to live with your decisions, brought to justice at last. Even when the stand is packed, you'll never get a cheer. Your tournament is over because you're out of here.
It's time for World Record of the Week.
Everyone's the best at least one thing. It's a World Record of the Week.
Nighttime edition.
Nighttime edition. It's really dark, isn't it? I can barely see you. You can probably see me. The light's angling at me.
Yeah.
Both the torches, the tiki torches have gone out, so we've got less light even than before.
So I could get away with just walking off.
Yeah, I'll just talk to myself.
Keep the mic on and get into some sort of embarrassing...
Long cable, isn't it?
End up in some sort of embarrassing situation, like all the people who get caught off mic.
Yeah, like go to the toilet or whatever. It's like a classic sitcom trope, isn't it?
Yeah.
Left the mic on, what an idiot.
So we'll do that next week.
Yeah, listen in, folks. Enjoy listening to Ben go to the toilet. Well, that's what you're tuning for. There's a lot of world records this week, so I'm going to zoom through a few to start. I'm not going to ask you what you think of them. I'm just going to say
I don't care about these ones.
So, first one is Bill Lambert, a scuba diver from Rockford, Illinois, who took a scuba class 2 days after his 100th birthday in an attempt to become the oldest scuba diver ever. Had to scuba dive over 20 minutes. You can't just, like, put a scuba suit on and go underwater.
Or out in the rain.
Put a scuba suit on and have a shower. No, you have to do it properly. So he's done it. He hasn't been confirmed yet, but he thinks he's going to be all right. And he's going to be the oldest ever scuba diver boy. There was also a record broken this week by some idiots doing broom boarding. So they were getting on their brooms, like Harry Potter brooms.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it over Zoom. And this one was a bit weird because it was said 133 households. It didn't say the number of people. It was just... I don't know how many people it was.
Very different.
It's hard to quantify how many people that is. But pretty boring record, I think.
Why is broom boarding?
They literally got on their brooms. Harry Potter. Yeah. They were getting onto their brooms, intending to then fly them away. And hopefully they all flew them out of their 20th floor apartments. And we are rid of those, rid of the like. There's a record broken this week by Joseph Grismore, a guy from Minnesota, who I assume is a punk because he has the tallest mohawk of all time. Do you guess how tall it is in centimetres?
200 centimetres.
It is 108 centimetres. 200 centimetres would be ridiculous. As tall as a human.
It's a world record for
that's
a reason.
True, yeah, that's true. 108 is big. I've seen pictures of it. It's big.
Was there any sort of fold in it? Was it folding?
No, he had to use a lot of glue, effectively, to make it stand up straight. To be
paper mache it.
No external things. That's just be hair and glue. There's a record broken this week by a guy called Corey Marcellaro, a guy from Rocky Point, New York State, who got the most one-handed claps in a minute. So, you ever heard that, like, there's a saying, isn't there? What's the sound of one-hand clapping?
Yeah.
Corey knows. He knows really well, because he did a lot in a minute. Do you want to guess how many he did in a minute, one-handed claps? It's not easy.
And does it have to be a certain amount of connection to
I assume it has to make an audible noise, because otherwise it's not
how
a clap,
audible,
is it?
Audible, though?
Like... Well, like, if you place your hands together, that's not a clap, is it? Whereas if you make a noise with them, that's a clap. So I think it's got to be... Put it next to the mic. I reckon it's got to be noisy.
I'm going to say you did... In a minute?
Yeah, in a minute.
Over to a second. 3 a second, maybe.
Yeah.
4 a second? 5 a second.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How long is that? I don't know.
I can't
keep track of time and count numbers.
I'm going to say 3 a second, so 180. Yeah.
180 in a minute?
Yeah.
He got 853
in a
minute. Oh, wow. It's ridiculous. I haven't seen the video. I really want to see the video of this, because I assume he's just got, like, dislocated fingers and just, like, slapping them together, because that's the only way you can do it.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
It's, like, 14 a second, apparently. Oh, you get cramped. You get cramped so quickly.
I'm doing it quite quickly now, but you can't hear anything.
I can't hear it, no. I don't think that's a clap. You lose. Disqualified. There was on the Guinness World Record YouTube channel this week, there was a beard off, is what they, well, I don't think they called it a beard off, I think I did. It was these two guys with big beards who've got, like, records. They're both record holders for putting stuff in their beards.
Like leftover food.
Well,
because I can put that in a beard.
You don't put it in there, that's just what's in a beard. That's what beard's made of. This guy, Joel Strasser and Anatoly Ivanov, they put pencils in their beard live on a Guinness World Record stream.
Yeah.
Do you want to guess how many pencils Anatoly got? He won. I'll spoil it now.
206.
Joel got about that. Anatoly got double, 443 pencils.
Oh, wow, pencils. Joel, you've embarrassed yourself there.
He did look a little bit sort of sheepish, Joel.
Like, did you just have a tiny beard? Did you just go on?
Just got a little nicely trimmed beard. One pencil, Owen. Oh, you got more. Oh. Yes, he was outdone by Anatoly. Anatoly's got a lovely beard, but it's not like ZZ Top type beards. Like, I reckon you could get more. If he had a bigger beard. He's got a long beard. It's only down to, like, the middle of his chest.
Mm.
So, and you see, like, rabbis and stuff with, like, beards all the way down to their knees.
Yeah, you
need
it to be thick, don't you?
Yeah,
to
that's
hold
true.
The pencil.
That's true, yeah. So maybe if you had a really long beard, the extremities wouldn't be any use anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe it needs to be...
Big, close. Bushy beard.
Great big, bushy beard. Did you see... This is getting into the sports ones now. Did you see about Mo Farah?
The 1 hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, he ran and ran and ran and then...
And ran some more.
Somebody told him, it's been an hour.
Yeah, stop now, I would have thought you. And it turned out he broke a world record. He broke Haile Gebrselassie's world record, which would be doubly sweet for him, because Haile Gebrselassie was the guy who owned the hotel. Do you remember when he had all his stuff nicked out of his room?
Yeah.
And Gebrselassie, though.
Do you think that's why he's done it?
Possibly.
Well, you nicked all my stuff. I'll nick your
world record. He had, like, all the newest technology. He had, like, that wave thing that goes around the edge, the lights that go around the edge that tell you, like, your pace.
Oh, yeah.
He had the newest shoes and everything, and he still only beat it by 33 metres.
Yeah, I saw that.
Incredibly close, isn't it?
Yeah.
That? It's such... he ran 21.33 kilometres, which is, what, 21,330 metres. And he only broke the record by 45 metres. I think that's
ridiculous.
Insanely close. And it must mean that you're nearing the edge of what's humanly possible, you think, wouldn't you?
Surely.
Yeah, although you think that. And then
until Roger Bannister comes
along. I was
going
to say, there's someone like Usain Bolt comes along and you're like, oh yeah, there's a lot more that's possible, as it turns out. There was a record broken this week by a guy called Robert Coach Bob Evans, a guy from Oregon, who is a swoggler. Do you want to guess what that is?
A swoggler?
Yeah.
Somebody who swallows stuff.
Like... No, a sword juggler. No, that's not right. He's a swim juggler. A swimming juggler.
Right.
So he juggles...
So he's a juggler.
Yes, but he also swims. So he broke the record for the longest swoggle. And then got rested. No, he was doing backstroke in a pool and like juggling. And he juggled 5 balls.
Wow.
I don't know why he did 5. I don't know if he had to do 5. Maybe he had to. But he got 101 catches. I should have asked you how many you thought he'd done. Didn't seem to be any time limit on it.
I would
it
have was, had no idea.
No, nor would I, to be fair. Like, this is just, it's a strange one. It's a very strange one. Yeah.
If you can do it.
Yeah, I guess. Like, it's a world record. So I don't know if there was a previous world record for it.
Why do you think he did that? Do you think he was a mediocre juggler?
And a mediocre swimmer?
And so could be the world's greatest swogger.
But surely if you were good at one or the other, you just beat him, surely.
Yeah. As long as you can tread water.
Yeah. This is what I thought, because he's not moving his arms, obviously. He's juggling with his arms. So he's just kicking with his legs. So he's not moving very fast. He's not really swimming. I guess he is swimming because he's floating, but he is moving. He is moving, so maybe you have to move at a certain pace for it to count as swoggling.
Maybe.
Don't know.
To count as a swoggle.
That's not swoggling. That's falling with style. There was a guy this week called Florian Venom Trickshots Cooler, who's got a much better nickname than Coach Bob. Do you want to guess? Swoggler Bob. Sounds like a pirate. Yeah, do you want to guess what Florian Venom Trickshots broke the record for?
Trickshots.
Yeah, you're right, trickshots. He broke the record for the most pool trickshots completed in 24 hours. Do you want to guess?
800. You're 94.
You're extremely close with 800. He broke 753 records. And they had to be individual trick shots. They all had to be separate trick shots.
Yeah.
He seemed to have names for them all. I've watched a bit of the video. The whole thing was live streamed. And he seemed to know the name of every shot that he was playing. And
this is the Uber 2.
The Scoogle Google.
And
here's the Swoggler.
it's in a pool.
So over 30 per hour, and he had to make the shots, like he had to actually pop the balls.
Yeah.
So I think that's incredible to have done 30 an hour for 24 hours.
Setting them up takes long enough.
Yeah. And yeah, some of them are like big ones where you put like a line of balls and like swing it around to score. And from watching a bit of the stream, he just pops them all first time, a lot of the ones. He's just like, first time, set them up, first time. He's incredible. I think he's got a lot of world records, this guy. He's got like the record for the highest pool jump of like the pool ball jumping over a queue and stuff. Like, he's got a lot of these world records. But he had a success rate, from what I could calculate, of over 70%.
Like over 24 hours.
Over 24 hours.
That's really good.
Incredible. So he definitely deserves... He's world record of the week. We don't often do this anymore, but he is world record of the week. But there is one more to talk about, of course.
Is it?
He's on holiday at the moment. Oh, David. He's on holiday.
Oh, and you've got a world record for it.
Best holiday ever.
He seems such a sort.
He submitted all the paperwork to Guinness.
Biggest scrapbook for a holiday.
That's good, because that's quantifiable. I like that. Not just best. He's on holiday in Yellowstone National Park, but he could not resist the Guinness World Records. They do, you know, they've been doing like the everyone get involved on Twitter type world records. They did another one for, you know, the biscuit game. You put the biscuit on your head, move it down your face into your mouth. Yep. Quickest you could do it. You had to eat the biscuit as well, fully finish it off. And of course, David got involved. Of course, he did. He can't leave well enough alone.
Because he didn't want to spend any time with his family.
Well, his kids.
His family hate him.
Go away. Go and eat a biscuit. Fine, I'll break a world record of it. Idiot. But his son was on the video with him, his little son. He's got a like 18 month. No, he must be older than that because he's talking a bit. So he must be 2 or something, his son. He was helping out, did him the 3-2-1 go.
Okay.
And did him the countdown. Do you want to guess how quickly he did it? Fully munched down, empty mouth.
6.5 seconds.
6.5. 8.8. It's a bit slow.
Yeah. Yeah, because everybody's doing 6.5 round here.
Yeah. We just didn't document it, David. So come round here if you think you can eat a biscuit better than us.
Can you choose which biscuit you use?
It had to be like an Oreo-style biscuit, the cream-filled.
Okay.
But it seemed like they were all circle, from what I could see, all the people. Somebody did it faster, but they were disqualified.
Because they use their hands.
Because they hit a ball judge through a biscuit arm. Take that, David Rush's son.
Team of the week.
Team of the week this week is the Forest Green Rovers and their newest shareholder, Hector Bellerin.
Hector, Arsenal right back Hector Bellerin.
Who has become their second largest shareholder of the League Two club.
Yeah, he's put a fair bit of money into it, hasn't he?
Though, still under the threshold for a conflict of interest. So if Arsenal were to ever play them, it wouldn't be a conflict of interest. Yeah. It's below the conflict of interest threshold.
So if, do you think if he'd bought over the conflict of interest, he wouldn't be allowed to play?
Like
he just couldn't play that game?
Yeah, I think so.
That's interesting, isn't it? I never thought of that.
Not that it'd be a problem. It's only League Two.
Well, yeah, like, but you never know. Might meet in the FA Cup and Arsenal desperately need to win. Forest Green get a load of ringers in with all Hector Bellerin's money.
The reason they are between them, the team of the week, the Gloucestershire-based club have been recognised by FIFA and the UN as the world's most environmentally friendly club.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah. They went fully vegan in 2015.
So do you reckon that means all that... I read that. Do you reckon that means all their players are vegan?
I think it, I think I've read about them before. Yeah, I think all their players are on a vegan diet now.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
To enforce that for your players. I wonder if it's like a recommended thing. You don't have to do it.
Yeah.
Because I think it'd be very tough to enforce.
All our nutritionists are going to be advising based on a vegan diet.
Like what I thought it might be is all the food that's provided by the club might just be vegan. We'll be vegan. And then players can do what they want outside.
Yeah, but it's probably like...
highly recommended to be vegan. Otherwise you'll be ostracised.
World's first carbon neutral sports team, 2017.
Yeah. That's a while ago as well, isn't it?
Yeah, 2-3 years now.
Yeah.
It's carbon neutral.
It's pretty cool.
So what Hector Bellerin thought of them was Forest Green are showing others the way.
Mm.
So he's always been a socially conscious footballer. Yeah. He's raised money to plant trees.
Yeah, it was like rainforest relief or something, wasn't it? I read he'd put money towards rainforest relief and stuff like that.
But he saw what they were doing after Arsenal played them in a friendly.
Yeah, in a friendly. So I imagine he'd be allowed to play in that, even if he had a conflict of interest playing a friendly.
But that's when he like heard of them for the first time.
I saw his quote as well.
Yeah. All I knew about them was that it was a long way from London.
It's not even that far, Hector. It's like Gloucestershire, it's not that far.
Yeah.
Try going to Scotland, idiot. No, I probably went up the M5 though, didn't they? That's probably the problem. Roadworks, isn't it?
Long way around, isn't it? So his new role with them will see him raising the environmental agenda in football among clubs, leagues and fans.
Yeah.
So yeah, like he saw what they were doing and just and wanted in.
Yeah,
and
he's put his money where his mouth is.
Which is excellent.
Yeah, it's always good to. And like, I don't think it's not been trumpeted particularly, has it? It's
no,
like,
he's not
just,
yet.
He's anyway. Just put his money in. Like he's doing it not to, for praise or anything.
No,
because he believes in the cause, which is good.
Yeah, one thing I did like was that they have an organic pitch.
I read this
as opposed to.
That's what I was going to ask. What does that mean? It's grass. Grass is always organic, isn't it? Unless.
Oh, not one of these latex pitches.
Well, yeah, I guess that they're inorganic.
There are synthetic pitches, yes.
Yeah,
but many teams use
them. Not at that level, I don't think. You're not allowed them professional football, I don't think.
No.
The all weather pitches. Weirdly, because you'd think. Like, they get games postponed in professional leagues, so you'd think they would push for them. But, yeah, I don't know what that means, the organic
pitch. I assume it's
organic fertiliser for growing the grass.
It's fed organically.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Do they normally feed the pitch? Is that what, do they do that?
I don't know.
Lift it out and put new pitch in, relay the
turf? I don't know.
Normally.
But they put, like, special lights over it normally.
Do they? Like hydroponics?
Yeah.
Put a load of weed on it.
Yeah. Maybe that's...
Maybe that's what he likes.
It's a really strong pitch.
Team of the week.
Funny story this week is a weird thing. It's weird, isn't it?
Yep.
You've seen the picture
weird
of it.
Weird picture.
It's weird. So one of the fans of the, I think it was the New York Red Bulls. I'm not actually sure if it was a fan, if they were a fan.
Or just somebody who likes FIFA.
Just a person who likes playing FIFA, yeah, it seems. So they sent a message on Twitter to the New York Red Bulls to ask them, because the Red Bulls, we've all seen this, the new way is like having the fans' faces projected somewhere around in
or
the
cardboard cutouts.
Yeah, or like, so this seemed like it was an actual projection, didn't it, from what I could see, of like, so they had them on like the big screens that have like the Zoom call things to try and make it look like there's actually somebody watching, try and make the players. Did you see it in the US Open, the tennis?
No.
Serena was like talking to her family, I saw, after one of the games. Like, they had them all up on the big screen. Oh, it was just like a Zoom call.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. Yeah, I thought it was quite cool. It's actually, it seemed like, I've been watching a bit of the US Open because it's on Amazon Prime. Mm. And it's actually quite interesting because all the players are watching each other.
Yes.
She was saying, players don't get to watch each other normally on live because they'll just get mobbed if they go to the stadium. So actually, the fact that they're all getting to watch each other is actually quite an interesting,
quite cool,
an interesting thing for them, a bit different, and I like it. So this was, I've lost my track now. Where did they come from? Oh yeah, this is where the fans. So they sent, the Red Bulls were selling off the fan places for $50, I think.
Yeah.
And this person said, "Can I actually send you a picture of this mutant cat thing that I created on FIFA?"
So he scanned a picture of his cat in on FIFA, hasn't he?
Into like the face creator thing that
and
you can
made
do on FIFA.
A FIFA player.
Now the face creator things for humans are a bit weird, and this cat one is terrifying.
It's so weird.
It's so strange. It's got like greyish
lizard
skin,
man.
Bald head. Oh, it's so odd. It's like that David Icke thing, the lizard people.
Yeah.
That's what they seem like. It's so odd. But so the New York Red Bulls didn't respond, but Philadelphia, well, I think it's Union Philadelphia is the football club or something like that. They took the hint and said, "Nah, don't worry about it. Don't keep your money. We'll just put it on." And they put it on in one of the games, I assume all the players just stop playing and was just looking at this weird
what
cat.
The hell is
what
this?
This is worse than having real fans in. I prefer like fans swearing at me than this. Anything but this, please. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening. If you want to find more of our episodes,
why wouldn't you?
Well, everybody does.
I mean, everyone in the world.
I don't know how they found this one.
I don't know how anyone finds podcasts, to be honest. It's impossible.
But you can find ours on our website, which is backseatcoaches.co.uk.
You can get involved with us on Facebook. We are Backseat Coaches Podcast on Facebook. We've got a little cheeky page.
Or send us a tweet on Twitter at Backseat Coaches.
Yeah. We do all kinds of fun stuff on Twitter. I posted a thing about wrestling robots the other day on Twitter. This little video of robots wrestling. So if you want to see that, go to Twitter.
You get any retweets?
No. You can also find us on Podchaser, which is a good like podcast aggregator. They're pretty cool.
Or iTunes.
Yeah.
And if you do it through iTunes, give us a little 5-star review.
Anywhere you find us, give us 5 stars, please.
If you see us in the street, just give us like 5 stars.
I'd love, oh, do you know?
Like
Milky Way stars. No, Milky Way stars. That's what I want.
Oh, nice.
So go and buy some and give them to me.
I like trash pandas.
See you, suckers.